Well, good morning.
It's awesome to be here.
That's an adjustment. Well, super stoked to be here. Thanks for having me. We're talking about social media. It's a topic I am super passionate about in general. I will ask you all to be praying for me. I'm going off of 4 hours of sleep. Were they consecutive? No, but I know I'm in good company because you all know what that's like, because my sweet little one just had her tongue snipped. So we're a little sleepy, but I'm confident that God is going to be faithful and sustain me through this. But before I get started, I just want to pray. So let's go before God. God, we are always so dependent on you, whether we see it or not. Help me right now to speak clearly. Help my mind to stay clear and to be able to enunciate properly. May I make much of you. Prepare these moms' heart as we look at a very relevant topic today. And I pray ultimately, God, would you be glorified. I pray this in the power of the name of Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice and his love for us. Amen. Okay, so social media, whether you partake in it or not, is a large part of our lives, and you cannot escape how it affects our culture. It, for many of you, is a face recognition and a swipe, swipe, and tap away at all times as we keep our phones on us almost always. There have been a lot of good things. I mean, mostly what I'm going to talk about is some of the negative things. I don't want you to just hear negative, but I do think we need to think very critically about it. But there have been some really good things that have come from it. Information sharing, super powerful. Even a couple months ago, my oldest was not sleeping. We're talking 3 hours of screaming before going to bed. We were like, what is going on? She had been sick. We're like, I don't know how to do this. And then waking up every night at 3 a.m. and screaming more. This went on for 2 weeks. We were like, what is happening? And in one of my middle of the night scrolls, I came across a doctor who said, hey, if you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's probably a histamine issue. I went and got her an antihistamine, and it fixed it immediately. God was gracious. He allowed that share of information to happen, and it's a positive way it's been used. Or there's also, if you guys are aware of the effect of Amazon on bookstores, it's kind of killed them. And yet in 2020, Book Talk started. And they romanticized buying books and being in stores. Barnes & Noble went from closing over 150 stores starting in 2009 to starting in 2023. They were opening 30 stores, and the next year, 57, and then last year, 60, and they plan to continue to expand. This is something that is an insane effect on our economy because of women loving to read and sharing their love of reading together. Also, I don't know if you're familiar with cottage cheese. It was not a very popular food for a while. And then the protein girlies got on social media and said, hey, you can get a bunch of protein if you throw this in everything. And then you couldn't find it in grocery stores and became an incredibly popular food. We also see the mobilizing of masses. A couple months ago, there was a school shooting in Minnesota. And a creator who is a lawyer was able to use his platform, got on and raise in a matter of days over $100,000 for those families and show love to them and provide for them in a way when they had funeral costs and all these different things to take those worries off of them. We also see the gospel go forth and reach people and people be able to have education in the Bible that they would not have had otherwise. You can see that even just evidence in the comments of people from India or Africa getting education and knowing Jesus better because of social media. But at the same time, there are two sides to this coin. Consumerism and materialism is at an all-time high. People are displaying lifestyles, and everyone thinks it's normal with haul culture to just buy more and more and more and more. We also see porn is more accessible than it's ever been. We also have predators having access to your children while they sit in the safety of your home because of it. Now, that is not what we're talking about today, but I feel like I'm not doing my due diligence to educate if we don't quickly talk about things like Roblox and Minecraft. If you're giving your children access to these platforms or social media where there is chat and video function, You need to know that predators have access to them. This even happened to me. I remember I was like 15 years old. I got a Zanga. I don't know if any of you remember Zanga. And I was so excited about it. I go on and I post, and immediately, within days, older men were messaging me. I told my parents. We had a great relationship, so nothing came of it. And we shut it down immediately, and I got off. There are people out there, the decision of how social media plays in your home and what you give your children access to is deeply personal. This is not a legalism talk. It's something for you to think through and decide, but it is important to be aware so that way you can make educated decisions for your children and keep open communication with them if they do have access to those platforms. My notes keep scrolling. So then we ask our question, so then how do we live as believers in a social media climate? The first thing I want you to understand is how it works. What is social media? First, nothing is truly free. So what are they getting from you? They want your time and attention because to them, that's money. The more time that you spend on a site, the more ads you get to see, the more money that they make. So how do they get your attention? It's through what's called an algorithm. So Oxford Dictionary says, an algorithm is a process or set of rules to be followed in calculation or other problem-solving operations, especially as by a computer. And that is not helpful at all. So I want you to think about it like a mall. I know malls have kind of died, but we've all probably been in them. The algorithm is the security cameras. It's the sales clerks and the layout of the stores. They are picking up data, watching where you stop, what you ignore, what makes you stay longer. So for how that plays with social media, we're seeing what you pause on, what you rewatch, what you comment on, even a second of looking at something, what you share, what you save, what you search, and then how long you're on before you close the app. So what it's doing is it's rearranging the mall just for you to keep you there. So if outrage is what keeps you scrolling, that's what you're going to get more of. If comparison keeps you scrolling, you're going to get more perfect lives. If fear keeps you scrolling, you're going to get more fear-mongering. If validation keeps you scrolling, you'll get more content that pokes at your insecurities. The app is mirroring and amplifying your idols. If you aren't scrolling with a filter on your mind, social media is what's discipling you. So it's important for us as believers, especially as moms, to be on guard. Because this isn't overt, but when you see something over and over and over, you begin to believe it's true. So things like what a good mom looks like, what kind of body is acceptable postpartum, what emotions are validated versus dismissed, what kind of life is blessed and honoring to God, can still be tweaked by what social media says. And God cares about what we say or what we consume. And he has a lot to say on it. So we even see in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God cares what's in our mind. And it's really good for us to check those things off. I look at this as a list. What is true? Oh, it's not true? Then my mind doesn't need to spend time on this. Now, it's easier for me to say that. Don't hear me be on like a high horse here. I struggle with this deeply all the time. 1 Peter 5:8 also says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. If you grew up in the purity culture, that was often what was used. It's not talking about purity, though. It's talking about how what we let into our heart in general. Matthew 6:22 through 23, Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Jesus cares about what we put in our minds. Because what you consume is what you will be. And as mothers, you are the mitochondria of your home. You're the powerhouse. You set the tone for how your children react, for what the experience is even for your husband. And so be careful. And how you think, how you take in this indoctrination. And that is my child. Hey, girl, you're doing great. So I want to just talk about a couple pitfalls, specific pitfalls that might be easy for us to fall into, like buckets, that I think just are easy as women. So one of them is comparison and envy. To outsourcing scripture or authority from scripture to influences, anxiety and despair, wasting time through laziness or escaping, and then lastly, self-righteousness. So let's talk first through comparison and envy. I would actually argue that comparison is one of the big buckets a lot of women's sin falls into. The other one is, I think, control, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. But just, I think a lot of how we fall can be categorized in one of those. Comparison, we all know comparison steals joy. And we can quickly think, if only I had her body, then I would be happy. If only I had the time that she has, she doesn't know how busy I am, she has so much time, then things would be easier for me, then I would be at peace, I'd be happy. If only I had her husband or her children or her success or fill it with whatever the thing is you feel is lacking, then I would be whatever it is you're seeking. And if we continue to sit on those things, we sit and discontentment grows and grows and grows and grows. And bitterness sets in. That is not what God has called us to. So even though it's important for us to remember, that's, we all know this, so I'm not going to spend time with it. Social media is a highlight reel. Well, that's not new. But it's still easy for us to believe that it's reality. And then we can start either sitting in despair or then tweaking, constantly adjusting the habits and rhythms of our lives to try and achieve something, and achieve and achieve and achieve to try and be something that maybe isn't even real. And it's not what God has necessarily called us to. So to the one who's tempted to compare, choose to be thankful. That is the source of contentment. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. That's no exceptions, by the way. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hebrews 13:5, be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So don't let social media rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Another pitfall would be outsourcing authority from Scripture to influences. This can be influencers. It can also be therapists, doctors, specialists, trauma accounts, and even Christian creators. But you can start saying, well, I saw someone say, and I saw this video or this account help me realize, and while that isn't always a bad thing, sharing of information is a good thing. There are a lot of great resources online, as I talked about with my daughter. It really helped bring our evenings back. But it's important for us to compare with, thus says the Lord, not thus says this creator. Because if you don't, if we're not continually coming back to what God has said, you're going to end up in really weird places. And it often is things that are really, really close to true, but they're twisted. And you end up believing a lie, unknowingly. So can be like the Bereans. Look at what you're taking in. Is it true? Is it not? 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Hold fast to what God has said. And we have, when Paul's writing that, they didn't have the completed scripture that we have today. We do have that as our anchor and as our guide to what is true, so keep coming back. Honestly, that's how a lot of cults are started, is things get twisted and things get really weird. That's why we see all these documentaries now of, oh, well, I don't know, have a bunch of children, and I can't think of them, so I'm not going to make it up. But you've seen it. And then God loves you or something. That's how things get weird. So be very, very careful. Be on watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "But test everything. Hold fast to what is good." Another pitfall is anxiety and despair. Social media is full of fear-mongering, and it is so easy to lose sight of God's sovereignty and get lost in anxiety over current events, the safety of our children, or even just parenting right and trying to do it perfectly. There are so many opportunities for anxiety. On the flip side, we also have access to the suffering of the people in the world that no other generation has had. It is more than what we were created to bear. But Jesus can bear it. And so as you come into contact with moments where you're seeing the brokenness of this world, take those times to turn to worship. But God, I don't know how this works out, but God, I know you are in control. You are sovereign. You are working. I don't understand it. I can't fix this, but I can pray for these people. And as believers, we are called to do that. That is loving. It's hard because they're not our immediate neighbors, but they're still our neighbors. It's made kind of the whole world our neighbors, which makes it overwhelming. Imagine like if, I don't know, the grass in your backyard, if every single blade was crying out to you, you could not bear it. You could not handle each thing, but God can. And that is exactly how he works. So find rest in him. So to the one who struggles in tempted to despair or overwhelm or anxiety, rest in the sovereignty, omnipotence, wisdom, and love of God. And what I mean by that is God knows everything. None of the things that are coming out, Epstein files, things like that, none of them are surprises to him. He's always known. There's no conspiracy theory that he doesn't actually know the truth of. He is in complete control of everything. But also in it, he's wise. He knows better than us. And so he's working in it so we can go, okay, I don't understand, but I know you're wise. And then he loves us. And so we can actually rest in the fact that he does love us. And when you look at each of those pieces together of his character, of who he is, and the fact that he's faithful and he never changes, that's where rest is found. That's how we can sit in the tension of this world is really, really broken. But God is, I can rest in our God. It's having a high view of who he is. Oh, my notes totally moved again. Give me one moment. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Psalm 112:7 says, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord." That is one of my theme verses. I want to be that person that is not afraid of bad news because I just know God is in control. Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose." God takes even the brokenness, even our own sin, which is crazy, and he's going to force it to do good to us. What a great God. The next pitfall, I think, can be wasted time through laziness or even just trying to escape. We often turn to social media to quiet anxiety, to escape from boredom, fill silence. And we can end up wasting time and ignoring that which God has called us first to. You only get your children as babies for 1 year. You only get them as little kids for 4 years. And on average, I looked this up, parents get to know their kids for about 50 years before they die. That's a tenth of their life. And in even a little bit more than that, then they're out of your home. You only get so much time with them. So be careful not to be staring at your phone when they're looking to you for connection. When they want to show you a flower that they found, or they want to ask you to watch while they jump off the couch to look to you to be proud of them. To hear them when they just want to talk with you. That's making me cry. I was not going to talk about this, but my mom died when I was 19. And I remember in high school, I would get in the car and think of anything throughout my day that I could just tell her because I just wanted to share everything with her. Your children want your attention. Don't look at don't have their view of you staring at a phone. Don't let them ever question that they are not the most important thing. I'm thankful for the time I had with my mom. This wasn't really even a thing when I was in high school, but they covet you. Thanks for your patience with my tears. I'm an incredibly emotional person in general, and then add sleeplessness, you know. They're just ready to go. I don't want to totally discount, though, that scrolling is wrong, though. Rest is still something that is good, and sometimes it's something we turn to rest. We see rest commanded in the Old Testament. We see Jesus practice rest in the New Testament. My question then to you, though, after you are scrolling, are you leaving rested and refreshed? Is the constant stimulation actually bringing reprieve, or is it keeping your nervous system on alert and depleting you rather than filling you? To the one who's escaping, I just want to challenge you to use your time well. Be willing to exist in the mundane and even the uncomfortable. You never know what God has for you. You know, we sit in waiting rooms with the doctor and everyone's on their phone. I used to be filled with more conversations. Be careful not to miss the person in front of you. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of our time because the days are evil." James 4:17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do it and fails to do it, to him it is sin." The last bucket that I think is very easy to fall into is self-righteousness. And this comes back to that algorithm that we talked about in the beginning. What you actually see, your experience of social media can be completely opposite of the person sitting next to you. Because your opinions are going to be affirmed. And their opinions are going to be affirmed. And it's easy to look at the other person and go, well, how can they believe that if they would be seeing what I'm seeing? They're not seeing what you're seeing. And so it just continues to ingrain in you that you are right. You know best, because of course you know, because look at all these people saying that you are right. And we're seeing that effect on our society today of people being so strong in their views of things. We've lost the art of listening. We don't take the time to hear someone's story, where they've come from. People don't come to places in a vacuum. It doesn't just happen overnight. People don't become radicals as little children playing with dolls. It's indoctrination over time. But also it could come from hurt or brokenness. Sit and see the person in front of you. What can also happen, though, is we can look at... it can dehumanize someone. Because they become the other. It others them. I would never think that. I would never believe what they believe. I mean, you can fill in the blank. This is also ties into ChatGPT. If you use it, I'll be honest. I use it for work all the time. It saves me hours. It's great. But unless you tell it otherwise, it's just going to tell you you're right. It is trained to do that because, just like social media, it wants to keep you using it. And we are more willing to use something if it makes us feel good about ourselves. We don't like feeling bad. We don't like being challenged. So be careful to not dehumanize others and view them as less for their views. Be careful to not judge other moms from opinions. Remember, Scripture is still our standard, and we are called to judge rightly. But be careful not to sit on a high horse and think, I could never. That's not me. So to the one that's tempted to self-righteousness, be humble and have compassion. Jesus took time to see people for who they were. He took time to truly know them, see where they came from. And he had compassion and listened. And we are called to do the same. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd." Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Remember to be patient with others who they really may have wrong views, but be patient with how they got there. So, I know I just talked a lot about the bad things that can be easy to go like, throw it out. And maybe for you, that is the right thing. This is not a legalism talk. This is something for you to evaluate personally, and what God has for you specifically, because God doesn't speak specifically on social media itself as it didn't exist. You might be totally fine with your balance on the social media front. Social media has impacted my life in huge ways, good and bad. More recently, even there was a specific creator. I don't even know if she's a believer yet. The way she talks about mothering and being a wife has completely transformed how I exist at home. So much so that my husband was like, "What is going on?" He was like, "You're not rage texting me in the middle of the day like, Ava, just threw everything that I just made on the floor and now the food is everywhere. The dog ate it." He was like, "I'm not hearing it." I was like, "Yeah, this woman challenged me to let you focus at work. And that, at home, that's when I can tell you. But I need to be faithful." I could be like, "Today was rough. She's almost two. This is hard." And then we can also talk about how cute she is, because that's what's getting us through. So huge impact, because just some woman came on and started saying, "Why would you do that? You would hate it if you went out with friends and your husband just told you everything your kids were doing wrong." I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so convicted." So God used it. That is a good thing. But it also, I am totally guilty of filling silence with it. So for me, I'm in a time, and I'm not going to lie, as I was preparing this, I was like, "I'm convicted." And this is really changing, even for me, part of my 2026 is how I use my phone. I'm trying to lean into a more analog life. So this is not "thus says the Lord," this is "thus says Lindsay," something that I am doing. I've created like a little analog bag. This is not my idea, someone I saw on the internet. And yet, it's helpful. So it has journals in it, it has books, it has washi taped for me to put in Polaroid pictures, because I don't need 20 pictures of the same moment. Any one. And little activities for me to fill my time with my hand, because you can't just put something off, you have to put something on. Yeah. If you try and just stop, it's just a void, and it's just going to come right back in. So if you do feel like you need to make a change, that's an idea, is make a cutie little analog bag with your interests and have it around. So when you are tempted to go for your phone, I've even started hanging my phone up like we used to. I hang it on the mantle, and that's where it stays, and the ringer is on loud so I can hear if my husband calls or someone that I might actually need to respond to. But other than that, it has a little home. But that is just something for me. So take time. This is a "search me and know me, O God" kind of a thing. He knows what's in your heart. Be open with him about it. Work through what does God have for you with this. And I just want to make one last comment that I wasn't going to originally include, but AI. We got to talk about it. The rise of AI is absolutely insane. Even the developments that have happened in even the last few months of videos looking real, it is hard to tell. It is so important for us to be media literate as believers, to know what we're seeing, to figure out if it's true or not. And it is getting harder and harder. And this is something, even looking for little things, first is thinking, does this make sense? Is this true with someone's character? But also looking in the background is, are there extra feet anywhere? Do the hands make sense? Does that chair logically, could it sit, stand up? Because as a robot, it doesn't understand physics. So those are things, unfortunately, is getting better and better, and I do fear that there will be a time when those things don't even exist, but it is something we need to be on guard on with in general. And so I felt like I should bring that up. So just as a recap, the pitfalls are, let me go back up to my notes, comparison and envy, outsourcing authority from Scripture to other influences, anxiety and despair, wasting time through laziness or escaping, and self-righteousness. Thank you so much for your time.